Father God, we come once more again into your presence.
Yes.
We thank you, Master.
Yes.
For shedding your precious blood on that cross.
Yes.
Help us to understand that is the only vehicle that you will ever use for all eternity.
Yes.
To redeem us as sinful fallen people. When we reject what you did on that cross,
yeah,
we are rejecting your best.
Yeah.
And we don't want to have nothing to do with the true and living God.
Mm.
So Lord, help us to understand that your son, Jesus Christ, is the only way we can be to the Father.
Yeah.
Help us to understand, not by might,
no,
nor by power, mm, but only by the Holy Spirit,
yeah,
is this able to be done.
Thank you.
Help us to open up our mind and our thinking.
Yeah.
Illuminate what's going on in our head.
Thank you.
To see things from your perspective.
Yes, Lord.
To see things the way you would have us to see it.
Yeah.
And stop us from thinking and adding our own views and insight,
mm,
to whatever we're seeing and observing in this life.
Yeah.
Continue to have your way.
Have your way.
And we will continue to give you all the praise and the glory.
Lord, yes.
In Jesus' wonderful, magnificent name we pray.
Lord, yes.
And the saints of God that are in agreement with this prayer say amen.
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 In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Now can I get you to stand to your feet?
Amen.
This morning, as you, the title will be The Value of Knowing Christ.
Mm.
ST this morning. The Value of Knowing Christ.
Amen.
Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. It says, but whatever things were gained to me,
mm,
Paul speaking, these things I have counted as a loss, underline this in your thinking,
mm,
for the sake of Christ.
Mm.
Let me say that again. For the sake of Christ. Verse 8. More than that, I count all things to be a loss in view of the surpassing value,
mm,
of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish.
Amen.
So that I may gain Christ.
Mm.
You may be seated. Title this morning's message is The Value of Knowing Christ.
Amen.
Do you know him?
Oh Lord, yes Lord.
I say, do you know him?
Amen.
I think the biggest problem with us as Christians that name the name of Jesus, we don't know the one that saved us. We don't know the one that redeemed us.
Yeah.
We think we know him,
yeah,
but we really don't know him because he has to give us that understanding.
That's it.
So now before we get into the text this morning, I want to do a little teaching. This is hot off the press. I was sitting at home and then I was getting ready to make some notes and I put it in my memory. I said, when I get to the church, I'm going to write it down and add it to the sermon. As soon as enough I got to the church, Satan popped his ugly head up this morning. And there was the air conditioning in the sanctuary was not working. So I had to spend all that time trying to get the unit working, call Deacon, come on and get me, help me get the things going. But the Lord answered. And it is cool in here, isn't it?
Amen.
Some people might say it's cold. But I'd rather have you a little cool than hot in the mask. So now, let me just do a little teaching. God promised to answer every one of your requests. You do know that, right? Because he said, whatsoever.
Mm.
God promised to answer you.
Mm.
He promised to answer your prayers. But what seems to be the problem when you don't get your prayers answered to what you think?
Mm.
I want y'all to see this today.
Mm.
The problem is, it's you.
Mm.
Matthew 7 and 7 says, seek, ask, seek, and knock, and you will find. God say, I will answer, but the problem is you have incorporated in your request and in your thinking, leaving me out.
Mm.
Am I teaching this morning? John 14 and 13 says, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son.
Yeah.
And you ask for me anything,
mm,
notice what he said?
Mm.
He says, he's going to do what? He give it to you. So what is the problem? A lot of it has got to going on in our understanding. And let me do some teaching. God said, I will answer every time. And when it gets to you, you don't understand what's happening. I don't answer. But you got the wrong understanding. God said, I will guarantee you every time you pray to start giving you right thinking, but it's up to you when you receive it. Let me do a little teaching. See, when you pray and it doesn't seem to be where you think it is, that's because you have a misunderstanding. See, faith in Christ and believe in Christ equals understanding. You might want to write that formula down. Faith in Christ and believing in Christ give you understanding, not what you see and feel. So when God answers your request, he's giving you an understanding. And a lot of times what God gives us an illumination with, we don't want to accept. I'm helping you. It says in John 15 chapter verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you. God said, I want to answer it. But the reason why it's not answering is because you're thinking. See, when you got saved, you got a renewed mind.
Yeah.
And your renewed mind ought to be thinking the way Christ would have it done. That's the problem. We get saved and we still thinking our old way. We still thinking the way we want it done. We still thinking the way we feel it ought to happen. And let me help you out. God said, my son is the only way I'm going to answer the request. Didn't he say that? The Holy Spirit's only going to do that which is of Christ. So your thinking tells God whether you understand. Let me help you out. Many of us operate by body, soul, and spirit. But God saved you to operate in alignment with spirit, soul, and body. So when you make the request, he already sees it's coming from the body first, then from the soul, then from the spirit, instead of from the spirit to the soul to the body. Are we teaching?
Amen.
If the Holy Spirit is not endorsing it, you and him in collaboration with it, then it's not going to affect your soul, and then it's not going to come out through your hands and your feet and your body. So what's the problem? You don't have an understanding. So when I got that revelation this morning, I said, So God said, I answer every time. What's the problem? You. Why? You're not thinking the way Christ would have it done, are you? Because you're thinking about who? Body. Me, myself, and I. So God said, you already don't value me as important. Because all understanding comes from Christ. Let me give you some scripture. All understanding comes from Christ. Turn to Proverbs 9 and 10. Proverbs 9 and 10. Proverbs 9 and 10 says, knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. If you want to understand what's going on in your head, you need to make sure God is over it. If Jesus Christ is not over your spirit, then guess what? You already have negated the request. You have already negated God's alignment to come down through you. When I looked at this morning, I said, ooh, that's better than the message I was going to give. And what we teach it? Follow me, if you will, to another passage. Turn, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 2, verse 5 and 6. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 5 and 6. The reason why a lot of our prayers are not answered is because we're not aligning it under the Holy Spirit. We're not aligning it under Jesus Christ. Look what it says in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 5 and 6. Then you will discern the fear of the Lord. Doesn't the Bible say the fear of the Lord is the beginning of understanding?
Wisdom, yeah.
Proverbs 4 and 7 says that. He says, and discover the knowledge of God. Are you operating according to the knowledge of God? Verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom from his mouth. So all your understanding starts from coming from God. And it comes knowledge and, what's that last word?
Understanding.
Understanding. A lot of us, God trying to say, you're in darkness. And I done illuminated you with my Holy Spirit, but you thinking wrong. Thinking selfish, operating from the body, then the soul, instead of the spirit, instead of making the spirit what?
First.
Instead of making the spirit first, making Christ foremost.
Yeah.
So a lot of times, we got a misunderstanding. It ain't God that ain't answered. God said, I guarantee you, I will answer every time. Turn to Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17. The Lord said through the Old Testament, I love those who diligently seek me and will find me. So God said he's not holding himself back. Where is the problem? Where is the disconnect? It's going on in your thinking. I guarantee you this morning, most of y'all woke up, you didn't have Christ first and foremost on your mind. You had something else. And the Holy Spirit is only going to come to you, your thinking, to give you the revelation of who Christ is through you. It's a lot of people getting false teaching, not getting the truth of this. God said, I will answer. I promise you I will answer. And when God promised something, what's going to happen?
Oh, you do it. You do just.
Is he going to answer?
Yeah.
So where's the dead monkey on the line at? It's in our thinking. We think what we're thinking is right. But if our faith is not in Christ and our belief is not in Christ, then we're not going to have an understanding. Remember, faith plus belief equals understanding. That's the formula that's guaranteed to happen. If I'm listening to the Savior and the Savior's whispering in my mind and I'm doing what he would have me to do, God will be seen on the planet through me. Man, somebody ought to be shouting right now. See, a lot of the problem is we don't have Christ's perspective in our thinking. So now let's get into the text this morning. Oh, let me do this before I get into the text. The five things I want you to know and remember. Remember what they are?
Yeah.
And I'm going to keep saying them until the Holy Spirit tells me not to say them. See, you learn a lot about what's going on in you when you prioritize these five things. You start to apply them. First of all, God is sovereign.
Yeah.
Is God sovereign?
Amen.
Psalms 103 verse 19 says, the Lord has established his throne in the heavens and his sovereignty rule over all. So whatever's happening to you, good, bad, or whatever, you got to realize God is sovereign.
Amen.
Second, is God good?
Yes, man.
I say, is God good?
All the time.
You got to remember, God is good. Psalms 107 verse 1, say, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Why? Because he's good. And verse 2 say, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If anybody in the sanctuary ought to be saying, God is good, it ought to be you. Third, do you know God loves you?
Amen.
Let it sink in. See, when you don't put these things in your thinking and let them register, you're going to be deceived by Satan and interjecting your ways.
Yeah.
Interjecting your thoughts.
That's it.
God loves you.
Amen.
Romans 5 and 8. God demonstrated his love toward us that while we were yet sinners,
yes,
Christ died for us.
He did.
You were fighting against God before he reached down and saved you and redeemed you. What's the fourth thing? God desires an intimate relationship with you. Do you know that?
Amen.
Matthew 11 and 8. Matthew 11 and 28. Say, come unto me all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll do what?
Give you rest.
Give you rest. What's the song that was sang?
Rest.
What do you rest in?
In Jesus.
In Jesus. It's in his attributes. It's in his power. It's in his authority. And God looks at you and you resting in everything but him. Because he wants a relationship with you.
Yeah.
And you're the one keeping it from being intimate. What's the last thing you need to let it sink in? And this is the most powerful one. God believes in you and he pursues you. I believe God comes down into your life every day and says, what's going on between you and me? What's going on between you and me? And we're so busy and we miss it. Psalms 56 and 9 and also Romans 8 and 31 says, if God be for us, who can be against us? If God is on your side, why are you worried about Satan, the government, or anybody else? So I had to get that in. So let's begin this morning in the sermon. You have your Bibles, ST number 1. I'm going to give all the scriptures. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 through 16. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7 through 10. And 1 John chapter 5 and 20. What do you count as valuable? Think about it. Do you think money is your answer? What the OJs used to say? Money, 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 money. God say, He is the one that you should be looking at as being valuable. Is God valuable to you?
Amen.
Ask yourself. See, we can fool ourselves because it's our thinking. If you're not asking God to resolve every issue, every problem, everything in your life, and change your mind and His perspective to how you're thinking, you're already going the wrong direction.
Come on.
What do you count as valuable? As you sit in the sanctuary this morning, what are some of the things you count as most valuable? And yes, life has adversity. Life throws you curves. But I like to look at it as an adventure. This morning, I had a challenge because Satan was trying to keep me from putting this information down to teach you this morning. So the air conditioning wasn't working. Deep came and helped. We tried to get this thing. We got it, finally got up and running and got it where it's cool. And we'll work on it after the service. But the thing about it is, don't let the situation distract you from what your main purpose is.
Yeah.
Didn't God make you for something?
Amen.
Did God make you for something?
Amen.
Now let me ask you, if you know God made you for something, what is it? Now don't be asking me. I can't tell you what He made you for. I can only tell you what He made me for. And it starts with Christ's perspective in your thinking. Is this sinking in? Got to remember, all pure understanding comes from God. Because if it's not from Jesus Christ and God the Father, guess where it comes from? Everywhere else is wrong.
That's it.
You, your family members, the culture,
world.
In your thinking. I would go to church this morning, but that's for them people online that didn't want to come to church. Look what it says in verse 7 of the third chapter of Philippians. It says, whatever things were gained, Paul said, whatever thought I was going after, the world, the flesh, the things that I thought was going to make me happy, those things I have counted as a loss, underline this, every day of your life, is it for Christ's sake? When things are not going the way you think it ought to go, have you surrendered it unto Christ? Is it for Christ's sake that you're doing what you're doing? See, if it's not for Christ's sake, then Christ is not going to get glory out of it. Everything you're doing, you prioritize and put Christ first. Verse 9 and verse 8. More than that I count all things to a loss in view, underline this in your Bible, the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Do you know Him?
Come on.
I said, do you know Him?
Amen.
I said, do you know Him?
Amen.
Yes.
Come on.
See, when you know somebody, you can tell them about their attributes, right?
All right.
That stuff Sister White can tell you about Pastor White because she knows me. Now, that's some stuff that you can say you know me about, but you don't have a clue. Why? Because you don't know me. You know about me. You know of me. God said, I want you to know me. When you know me, you can value me.
All right.
Is knowing Christ valuable to you?
Amen.
Is it?
Yes, yes, Lord.
See,
yes, Lord.
You got to first ask yourself, is Christ Jesus valuable to me?
All right.
If Christ Jesus is not valuable to me, let me do a little checklist. Proof that Christ Jesus is valuable to you, you are doing what Jesus said. And let me hit this, let me put this in there. God saved you to be kind. How many times you don't even feel like being kind to nobody? That's one of the attributes of a mother. I want you to see this. God's attributes is showing kindness to people that do not deserve to be kind. So right off the bat, you're showing God, I know you, because I'm being kind and loving somebody the same way you do. And they do not deserve it. Guess what? That used to be you. You used to be that person that did not deserve kindness.
Yeah.
Think about that, what you said the other day to somebody that was not kind.
Yeah. Come on.
Why? Because that I may be found in Him. When God looks down from heaven, he's looking to see, is his son the top of your priority in your thinking right off bat? Because it's through the Holy Spirit that's going to affect your soul and from your soul to your body. Are we teaching? Because through your body is what comes out through your hands and your feet and your mouth. So he's looking to see, is my son as a priority? See what it says in verse 9? That I may be found where?
In him.
Where?
In him.
So the Holy Spirit right off the bat looking to see, is Jesus your priority in your thinking? Paul said, having a righteousness not of my own, derived from the law, but that which is through faith where?
In Christ. Father.
Faith where?
In Christ.
Remember, faith in Christ and believing in Christ is showing understanding. The righteousness which comes from God, notice where righteousness comes from? From where?
From
on the basis of what?
Faith.
So you don't wait to see it. You demonstrate it because you know who he is in you.
That's it.
Verse 10. That I may know him. Do you know him?
Yeah.
I say, do you know him?
Uh-huh.
It's amazing. In 1 John chapter and the New Testament, all through that book, 36 times it has the word know. Why? That's no accident. God wants to show you, do you know me? I say, do you know me? Am I valuable to you? Look what it says right there in verse 10. That I may know him. And what's happening when you know it? And the power of his resurrection. What does that mean? He's not going to be being resurrected where?
In me.
Through you.
Lord Jesus.
Everything you do as a Christian, God is the spokesman to be the representative. When's the last time you cussed somebody out?
Uh-oh.
Was that being a good spokesman?
Oh, Lord.
Come on. Self-conviction.
No, it wasn't.
So that means Christ was not being resurrected through you when?
Not then.
When you were giving these people these wonderful compliments.
Call the words, Lord.
And the fellowship of his suffering. See, they might have been doing you wrong, but are you reciprocating by showing Christ-like character? Then you showing God, the Holy Spirit is ahead of this. And you start with an understanding. I've learned God always starts with an understanding. Proverbs 4 and 6, with all you're getting, get an understanding.
Yeah.
And a lot of us as Christians got a misunderstanding. He said, and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. Now I have never... We haven't had a whole lot of funerals here, but the funerals we have had here, I have never had nobody in a casket jump up and say, I'm ready to get out of here. Why? Because they are what?
Dead.
They're dead. And God said, when it comes to you living, you need to be died to self. Look what it says in verse 11. Verse 11 says, in order that might, Paul say, attain the resurrection from the dead. What does that mean? That Jesus will be now living where? Through you, right now on the planet. And don't you realize that's the same thing going to happen for all eternity? The very principle that you're showing now will also be part of his kingdom for 1,000 years. And you just let it be seen right now. Look what it says in verse 12. But that I may have already obtained it and have already become perfect. Paul said, I haven't arrived yet, but I'm moving forward. He says, but I press. See, you are diligently, I press so that I may lay hold of that which is also, y'all see that? And I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. What does Christ Jesus want you to do? Christ Jesus wants you to, verse 13, brethren, I do not regard myself as having hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, reaching forward to what lies ahead. See, your mind, every time you get up in the morning, you need to pray, Lord, put my mind to think the way Christ Jesus would think.
Stayed on thee.
Don't let me sin against you today. Let me obey your word. And let me do everything today that's pleasing in your sight. And we've added two more, that you love others the way Jesus loved others, and you do that which is pleasing to him. Are we teaching?
Amen.
See, that's starting your whole day out, showing you have a value of knowing Christ. Reminds me of this illustration on what's valuable. A boss wondered why one of his most valued employees was absent, but had no phone call, didn't come in. So needing to have an urgent concern about that person and why they weren't at work, he called the house. And when he called the home, he was greeted by a child's voice. And the child's voice said, whispered, "Hello?" And the man said, "Is your daddy at home?" And the little boy whispered back, "Yes." And so he says, "Can I talk to him?" And the little boy whispered back, "No." And the man was surprised and wanted to talk to an adult. He says, "Well, is your mommy there?" And the little boy whispered, "Yes." And he says, "Well, may I talk to her?" And the little boy whispered, "No." So hoping that he could get someone that's an adult or someone that's in charge, he says, "Is anybody else there?" And the little boy says, he whispered, "Yes." And then the little boy says, "A policeman?" And wondering what was going on, the man in concern said, "May I speak to the policeman?" And the little boy whispered, "He's busy." And the man says, "Busy with what?" And the little boy said, whispered, "Taking my mommy and daddy and talking to my mommy and daddy and the fireman." And as he whispered that back to the man on the phone. So growing more and more worried, the man said, "Well, what's that noise?" And the little boy whispered, "A helicopter." And he answered it and whispered. And he says, "Well, what's going on there?" And the boss said, "What's going on?" And the little boy whispered back, "The search team just landed a helicopter." And alarmed, the man was frustrated. He says, "What are they searching for?" And the little boy whispered, "Me." What do you find as valuable? I like that because little boy is valuable. Jesus is asking you every day of your life, am I valuable to you? Look what, if you will, to verse 14. I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. How bad do you want Jesus to be seen through your thinking? How bad do you want Jesus to be revealed in your mouth? How bad do you want Jesus to be revealed in what you do? See, a lot of times we say we want Jesus, but we're doing it whose way?
My way.
See, and you're telling God, "I don't understand." Because he started with you understanding it must be Christ's way. For Christ's sake. Verse 15. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if anything you have of a different attitude, God will reveal it that you also to you. Now, did you miss that? God is trying to show you, you're the one that's missing the point. I want you to have an understanding. Do you know where all understanding come from?
Come from God.
Come from Christ Jesus. So when Jesus is giving you the understanding, you know what he tell him? Oh, no, that don't make no sense. God say, love the unlovable. Oh, no, that don't make no sense. God say, read my Bible. Oh, Lord, that don't make no sense. So you're telling God you don't want the understanding. He's answering. Well, next time you read that passage where Jesus promised to answer your request, the problem is he's already answered because he wants to give you a what?
Understanding.
An understanding. Matthew, the was it 15 and 10? Jesus said, hear and understand. And he talked about the food and what goes into a man's stomach is not what defiles him. It's what comes out through their action. So God said, the problem is they got messed up thinking. They're not hearing me to influence their spiritual mind to let me dominate. So I didn't answer, but they have rejected it, and so they don't think I answered. I said, ooh, man, I was shouting all over the place this morning with that revelation. See, if Christian would let the Holy Spirit illuminate their mind, turn, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7. The precious value, y'all see this?
Amen.
Then is for you who what?
Believe.
God said, all the understanding, all the ability to have my ways and the way I'm thinking is reserved for you. Mm. It's precious value. So that for you who believe, but for those who disbelieve, you with this?
Come on.
It's a lot of people. See, you can be a Christian and still not absorb and listen to the Spirit's revelation he's trying to tell your mind. The stone which the builders rejected, this become the very cornerstone. Verse 8, and the stone of stumbling and the rock of offense, for they stumble because they are disobedient to the word. You mean to tell me you can be a Christian and on your way to heaven and be disobedient to the word?
Amen.
How many people this week the Holy Spirit has told you to pick up your Bible and you didn't? Come on, tell truth, shame the devil. And to this doom they were also appointed. And God said, this is not what I want for my people. I want my people to hear what I'm saying. But a lot of us as Christians are carnal, or we're not spiritually discerning to get a right understanding. But praise God for those that do have an understanding.
Amen.
Praise God for those that who are obedient. Verse 9. But you are. Notice these attributes.
Chosen race.
Chosen race. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. A people for God's own possession. So that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Amen.
So every day God comes down to give you more illumination in your mind, and you tell him where you are in your understanding. Because he already said you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into what?
His marvelous light.
His marvelous light. So guess what we're operating in? We're operating in our marvelous darkness. And God said, okay, supernatural stuff can't happen. See, prosperity and the things that we are looking for is secondary to the blessing of having a relationship with God.
Amen.
Reminds me of a valuable work. An artist asked the gallery owner if there had been any interest in his paintings on display at the time. He says, I have a good news and I have bad news, the owner replied. Good news is that a gentleman inquired about your work and wondered if it would appreciate in value after your death. And when I told him it would, he bought 15 of your paintings. And the man said, oh, that's wonderful. That artist said, that's wonderful. But he said, well, what's the bad news? The bad news is the guy was your doctor.
Oh!
Verse 10. For you once were not a people.
That's it.
But now you are the people of God.
Yeah.
And you had not received mercy.
But now
you have received mercy. You know last week's message about mercy and grace? See, when you understand that you are now on your way to heaven, nothing can change that. Now God wants to see, can you show the world? What is the acronym that we have been teaching? Practice righteousness, offering of faith. Can people see Jesus through you? Because you know you're born again? God says, I'm testing you every day of your life. I'm testing you. Test of value. One person was asked what they value, if money can make them happy. And he said, quote, all I ask is a chance to prove that a lot of money can make me happy. Test me.
Try me out.
When you don't prioritize of putting God first, you already done missed the point. God allows everything in your life to see, is he really on the throne? And he uses your wife. He uses your deacon. He uses your children. He uses your boss. He uses the people in the grocery store. He uses whoever he sees handy to see if my son gonna come through you. And we disappoint the Holy Spirit because we do it whose way?
My way.
We quench the Spirit because we say, not today. Let him do it one more time. Come on. And God, the Holy Spirit says, see, you're not aligning. Remember, the Holy Spirit, the soul that's in you, and the body. God's always going to answer, is Christ on the throne of your spirit? And if Christ is on the throne of your spirit, he'll open up your illumination in your thinking. That's why a lot of us have a misunderstanding with a lot of things. Because we want to be disobedient. I ain't going to forgive them. You don't know what she did to me. If God done forgave you, I don't care what she done to you. You ought to be able to what?
Forgive.
See, you failed the test by not showing that he's on the throne. Turn to 1 John chapter 5. Verse 20. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. The thing is, it says, and we know. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20, it starts out with, and we know. No, that's plural. The church as a body of believers are not showing that they what?
No.
That they know that the Son of God has come. Ooh, man, that's another revelation. When is the Son of God has come? Right now, wherever you are at. If you've been born again. What has he done? He has given us, what's the next word?
Understanding.
He has given us.
Understanding.
He has given us.
Understanding.
So when you're not thinking the way Christ would have it done, guess what you got?
No.
A misunderstanding. Is this teaching?
Come on.
Why? So that we may know him. Do you know him?
Who is true.
And we are in him.
Who is true.
And in his Son, Jesus Christ. And this is the true God and eternal life. Do you have him? See, notice, underline this in your Bible. He has given us an understanding. And you're not receiving it. The most best wide receiver in a football game is no good unless the receiver catches it. God throws understanding up in the air, and it's up to us, are we going to what?
To receive it.
Receive it.
Yeah.
And he does it in various forms. Be patient, be kind, be loving. Why? Because that's what the Bible say. And the Holy Spirit's job is to bring the illumination of Christ through you. Do you know Christ and the value of him? It starts with a what?
Understanding.
An understanding. See, if you got a relationship with somebody, you ain't got to explain to them why you're doing what you're doing. Do you? Or you can. Because you know them. See, when you know somebody, you do it because you love them. Jesus said, if you love me, what you gonna do? So a lot of us telling Jesus, I don't care nothing about you. You told me to read my word last week. I ain't picked it up since last Sunday. Go on about your business. I ain't gonna love you. Now you would say that, but guess what? That's the result. Obedient work. A man said, when I got to work this morning, my boss stormed up to me and said, you missed work yesterday, didn't you? And you know what the man says? Nope, I didn't miss coming in at all. You tell God by your response what's valuable to you. Do you love him? Is he first and foremost in your life? See, you show God if he's on the altar and the throne of your heart every day of your life.
Yeah.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 and 19 from last week's study to the Bible study. His calling is in verse 18. His inheritance is in verse 18. His power is in verse 19, and his might is in verse 19. All that revelation will happen to you in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, when you surrender to the Spirit. God's not going to give you power until you surrender to him. Now, my grandkids are here. Would I give them a shotgun?
I hope not.
I remember when my dad was growing up, he was trying to teach me at an early age to use a shotgun. I was scared of that thing. He said, no, you ain't got to be afraid of it. Come on, let me show you. And it was years later before I finally got enough nerve to even touch the thing. But that was good. Because I'm not going to give them a shotgun or a knife because they are not ready to what? They're not ready to handle it. And God's saying, I can't give you the power of my Holy Spirit because you ain't even using the stuff that you do know. Why? Because you don't have an understanding. When you have an understanding, you let Christ be first and foremost through your spirit and through your soul and through your body. Are we teaching?
Amen.
And that shows the right alignment to heaven who's first. But you know what we show God every day? The body, then the soul, then maybe some of the spirit. And God said, that's the wrong alignment. That doesn't even line up with my covenant. My covenant is always going to come through Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Order. So he made you the same way to operate that way. Spirit first, soul next, because he's changing your character. Then your hands and your feet and your body. Are we teaching this morning? I say, do you know Christ is valuable to you? Do you know Christ is valuable to you? So we're going to close this part of the message. I hope you got something out of it. The rest of my notes I'll just alleviate. But you need to prioritize listening to Jesus every day of your life. And when you put him first, you're going to see a difference in that day. Now, there are going to be problems. There are going to be adversity. But guess what you're going to do? You're going to be changing your soul. I'm trying to teach. Your soul is going to be changed in line with the spirit that's in you, and it's going to affect your body to let Christ be seen through you.
Amen.
The Bible says, he that hath the ear to hear,
let him hear.
Let him hear. Are you listening this morning? God said, I don't answer the prayer. I'm always answering the prayer. But you want an understanding? And understanding comes from me.
Yeah.
And I done told you to forgive, and I told you to be patient, and you done held it up. God says, okay, you still not listening. I'll tell you about what happens when I was growing up in my home with my parents. If my parents told me to wash the dishes or go cut the grass, who do you think won that argument? You think I won it? There wasn't no such thing. Pastor White said, you ain't got to wash the dishes or cut the grass. No, Frank White was made in a hurry. He had a leather belt that adjusted my attitude real quickly. And he didn't allow no talking back. He said, he'd be looking. You said what? Get in the bathroom. Touch your toes. Pull them pants down. And y'all know the rest, right? In the name of Jesus, I'm not going to do it no more. See, you have to use correction to help your children learn righteousness. Because the sin is in their nature. The sin is in their fallen nature. So you have to drive that sin away. And teach them to live in a culture and live right with one another. You can't just do what you want. Somebody not doing what you want, you're going,
whatever.
I'm trying to help. So somewhere along the line, you got to teach them to surrender.
Yes,
you're teaching them to surrender to the parents the same way they're asking you, God is asking you to surrender to me. This is just bonus, ain't in my notes, it's Holy Spirit. So when you surrender to the Lord, you're telling the Lord, I understand the value of knowing Christ.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.